This is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
And this is Monster, my podcast.
And this is The Gnocchi.
There's a monster in my podcast.
Which is a pasta that's like potato in a like a pasta shell. So it's like little bits of potato nuggets, like in a pasta shell.
Right.
And my grandmother made the best gnocchi. It was so good. Authentico.
Nobody else has compared to her gnocchi. And if you say that it does, I will fight you.
It was Hospitaliano.
Yeah. I was going to go with a similarly culturally insensitive one and make a joke about Mr. Miyagi and gnocchi. But that seemed like gnocchi. a harder one to bridge.
Yeah. Mine just about my oh, grandmama, to me, you are so wonderful.
Yeah.
But Mr. Gnocchi is also good.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a good guy.
I don't know why we're wasting time. There's so much to talk about with the gnocchi.
Because this show, after Behold, we're dealing with Beholder Whiplash.
Oh, yeah.
Even though there were other episodes that came after that. But
right.
I'm still in the Beholder zone. So I'm like, let's chart this bad boy for a half hour. Let's do all six of these in half hour increments. 3 hours today.
Oh,
of
Jesus.
we can talk about gnocchis.
Yeah.
The Mr. Gnocchi thing kind of works, though, because he has that little tiny beard.
He certainly does. Oh, look at him. He's like a little Queens of the Stone Age.
Yeah. He does look like one of the queens. He does look like a little queen of the Stone Age. Yeah.
Oh, look at his little satchel, too, just hanging over his front shoulder.
I love that they wear satchels because they don't get to use them.
No, they don't have hands.
They have to use Umber Hulks as spare hands, yeah. Including like, hey, can you read? Like, if you're in like a relationship or you're just with somebody where you're like, hey, you know, I got my hands full. Can you reach into my pockets and get my keys? And it's always like the weirdest fucking thing.
Yeah. And then then you've got a boner and you make them feel.
you could do that. Like put the popcorn on the bottom or whatever,
it's like somebody reaching into your pocket.
It feels weird.
Yeah. No matter how this is me projecting with my neuroses and stuff. No matter how comfortable you are with somebody, that will always feel like an invasion of personal space.
Yeah, pockets are like the ultimate personal space other than your body. Like it is like the body for your clothing.
Right.
You know, it's very personal.
It's where I keep my balms and my salves.
Yeah. Yeah. And my entire the supercomputer that runs my life and all of my identity.
Yeah, also that. But more so my balms and my salves.
Yeah. There are balms and salves in there. But his little satchel, his little messenger satchel. It's very funny compared that, you know, they can't use it. And let me tell you something about Umber Hulks. They're not great in the hand department.
No, they're scroll down. I'm gonna regret having done this because it's hard to find my place in this gigantic PDF. But yeah, Umber Hulks, they're big stupid dummies.
Yeah, and they're big gigantic bug gorillas, more or less. And they have hands, but they're gigantic four-fingered mega claws.
Yeah, yeah.
Like look at how small the satchel is. You're not picking up a fucking Burt's beeswax out of that thing with an Umber Hulk.
No, definitely not. Those claws, especially at the end, the fingernail kind of things, pretty not great in terms of dexterity, one would imagine. But you know, catch as catch can. That's all they can enslave.
That's for now.
For now, yeah. Also, each other.
Yeah, and each other's slaves.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like slaves go round and around. It's like slaves.
They're grand slaves. Yeah.
Yeah, they're step slaves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is my step slave, Mark.
If you're listening along, you're not looking at the art on your phone. These look like spiders, but with the heads of moray eels. They're big boys.
Yeah.
Big bearded snakes.
Yeah, bearded snakes with spider bodies. And I thought this was going to be real boring at first when I first looked at it, especially because there's the gnocchi and then the great old master, and it's like the great old master is just going to be like one with fucking spells,
right?
It's just going to say like 1d8 wizard spells and I don't give a shit. But it's actually way cooler than that.
Oh, of course. Because they are kind of forced into being like brood mothers.
Yeah Like you start out as your gnocchi, you have your slaves. You start getting a little bit your slaves become disobedient because you start losing your mind,
right?
You start giving them nonsensical, you know, orders.
And it's
time
to put grandpa in a home.
Cheryl doesn't live there anymore, Gnocchi. Like we don't live in New York anymore. Yeah. Like you just they like, just constant like you can't drive, like you lose your license, like you have this whole thing.
Grace died 30 years ago, yeah.
And what they do is they inject you with poisons. And I was like, oh, okay, they mercy kill you. That's cool.
Nope.
Nope.
Yeah, so the poison is a bit of a misnomer. They yeah. give a forcible injection of royal jelly.
Yeah, Nyogi growth hormone that turns you into one of the great old masters, which is a big mindless birthing machine that yeah. lives only for food and to give birth.
Yeah. So I love the irony of that because, hey, great old master, you think, hey, that is a position of authority and respect. Yeah. Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
But no, like nobody wants to be one. Everybody runs away when they think that this fate is about to become them. And yeah, they are just mindless eating machines that eventually, when they get fragile enough, will rupture and more Nyogi will come out.
It happens in combat.
Yeah,
it's not just like if they get fragile enough, like in general, it's you're fighting them, you stab them, and then a bunch of Nyogi fall out of it. Because it's this writhing sack of young, like, yeah, it's so good. Like,
I just have this image of somebody mugging a pregnant woman, and then just all of a sudden the baby drops out and attacks with a switchblade.
Yeah, yeah. Bunch of Nyogis come out and just start making everything their slave.
Yeah.
You know, like it's like that, like levels of permanence. Like at first you don't, you know, you understand that you exist, then you understand that other things exist. Then you understand that other things are your slave.
Right. Yeah. And then you yourself do not want to be enslaved in this way to make everything go. So you will run away and become a reaver.
Yeah.
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 Nyogi are badass, man. And like, they're terrible. Like, they work with the Illithids who will profit off of their slave trade. But this is more interesting than I thought it would be.
Me too. Yeah. And they're, you know, they're terrible. I mean, they're hateful xenophobes, which, like,
right.
I never liked those words that much, you know, because I associate it with hateful hatefulness and xenophobia.
Right. Because it feels far too common.
Yeah. But and in the Monstrous Manual, it ends up being worse because it ends up being like the shortcut to Blandtown.
Right, right. It really is just like, oh, so it's from the Underdark. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. But these things have their whole like own or be owned thing. Like mm-hmm. everything is a slave, or I am a slave. My slaves have slaves. That is actually pretty interesting. Yeah. It reminds me, the record label in my hometown that we had, they had a garage sale once a year, and the name of the garage sale was Buy or Die. And then there was a subtitle that was Sell or Be Sold.
Oh, no.
It's very funny to me. Like, there are several buy or dies. Like, go to Buy or Die 3, Sell or Be Sold.
I don't know. I guess a threat is a good advertisement, maybe.
Yeah. Join the Navy.
Brought to you by our backers at patreon.com/duckfeedtv.